This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Taking a look at some of what's ahead in this new year, there is at least one big change for Georgia voters. The races for the U.S. Senate, governor, legislature, and other state offices will be decided in November, of course, but the process starts a lot earlier than usual, with primaries in May. That's 2 months earlier than usual. Steve Anthony is a former executive director at the State Democratic Party. He's a former top aide to the late State House Speaker Tom Murphy. He's now a lecturer in political science at Georgia State University. Steve Anthony, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you.
What was the idea behind bumping the primaries from summer to spring to start with?
Well, this was an outgrowth of some court cases dealing with the military and Americans overseas, and having enough time to get a primary in, then the runoff, get the results, print the ballot for the general election, mail the ballot, and then have them have enough time to send it back in by the first Tuesday in November. This was not a decision by the Georgia legislature.
Because actually what was happening, if I recall, was that some of the military voters, their votes weren't getting in until after the election had already been decided, even though they might have cast them in time.
Right.
Their votes weren't even being counted.
Eventually, really. But not necessarily being part of the drama on election night.
But we have now the state legislature going into session in January, so there will probably be a rush to get out the door earlier than usual, finish up the session and start campaigning, because when they're in there, they can't raise money.
Well, that's true, and of course, there's always the desire to get in and get out quickly or more quickly during an election year, and you're right. As long as they're in session under the 40-day umbrella, they cannot raise money. The incumbents cannot. So that actually gives an advantage to the challengers, and they'll want to get out and campaign, be able to have time to campaign as long as they possibly can, given this early primary date. And then the qualifying will actually be pushed back also. And so all of this would be going on at the same time, and it could be fairly hectic.
Obviously, that's the effect on the political folks, but for voters, what's the effect going to be? Does this mean they'll probably get less done, that we'll see fewer major things get through the legislature in that rush to get out?
Well, possibly. I mean, one of two things is going to happen. Either they don't take things up, or they take them up in a rushed format. And I think most people agree it would be better off if they just didn't take them up than to rush through some things to get them finished before the deadline came. So it just depends on the mindset. I think it's going to depend a lot on whether the Speaker and Lieutenant Governor can agree to a game plan, so to speak. If they're all agreement to get out by March 10th or say, or something like that, then that's good. If one of them wants to get something done and the other doesn't, then that's what causes the delays.
Here's one example, and I'm just picking this one because it's one controversial issue among many. There's a big drive on to overhaul completely the state's system for medical malpractice cases, basically turning it over from the courts to a kind of a board or panel like workers' comp is right now. That's very controversial. It's very complicated. Is there going to be, do you think, a push on that and other controversial issues when a lot of the lawmakers are keeping one eye on the door?
I don't think they'll have enough time to get something like that done, especially since, in a real sense, it's starting from scratch. Usually a piece of legislation like that goes through two sessions at least before everybody's comfortable enough to pass it on to the governor. So I don't think you'll see many things like that. Something may be controversial, which is not necessarily the same as complicated.
Yeah, this one's both.
The issue you brought up is both.
One of the reasons that I think some folks favor earlier primaries also is that people are gone in the summer, whereas in the spring they're more likely to be engaged, they're more likely to be in town, they're more likely to show up and vote. Do you think that, number one, we'll see better turnout than we usually do for primaries, and number two, will that tend to favor one stripe or the other within the political parties?
I think, again, it's going to be a wash. I think the incumbents are going to be favored regardless. And I think you will have a higher turnout overall. But whether it's significantly higher to bring in voters that historically sit out the primary, which is the case at least in Georgia, I don't know if it'll have that much of an effect. A bump of 5 or 7% in turnout is not the same as a bump of 20%. Most of that low turnout is driven by lack of party ID, and it doesn't matter when they vote. People just don't identify with parties, so they're not voting in the party primaries. So it doesn't matter when it is.
Yeah, that is a challenge that the parties have that is not driven by the calendar at all.
Correct. And the candidates are not driven by the parties anymore.
Certainly, Kasim Reed is one example of that. Michelle Nunn seems to be doing that. There are some others.
It's almost all of them, because the party's role now is really GOTV, and that's it.
Get out the vote, GOTV.
Yep.
The conventional wisdom, of course, is that in Georgia particularly, the primaries tend to favor candidates in both the Democratic and the Republican parties who are perhaps more absolute in their political philosophies, because the hardcore of voters are the ones who show up in July.
Right.
Is it possible that we might see more moderate candidates emerge from the primaries because they've been bumped up earlier?
Again, you're going to have a significant increase in turnout for that to occur. And if you have 33-38% turnout instead of 50%, it's been in the 30s. If you get it up to 50%, then what you're saying might occur. But if it goes up into the low 40s, I don't think that's going to have that effect. The other side of that coin is, because it's new and there's a lot of things going on, they've just finished following the session, school is out, it could be that it has no effect at all on turnout.
Talking about money, there's been a lot of debate about the influence of money in the political process and how much money candidates have to raise and the risks that come with that. Does the earlier season mean they have to raise more money, not only earlier, but because the process is now from spring to November instead of, say, July to November, they got to raise even more money?
Well, they will have to raise it quicker. I don't know that they'll raise net more than they have in the past. As you know, the laws in Georgia are such that when somebody gives a donation, they have to designate it for primary or general election. So because of that segregation, there's still the pressure to raise for the primary and then the pressure to raise for the general election. I think what you're going to see is candidates gambling to an extent, asking for more of the donations to be earmarked for the general, and kind of figure out just what they can get by with in the primary. So that they'll have the bulk of their money for the general election, because it's going to be such a long season.
Does the early primary, because of the increased attention that it'll get, tend to favor either of the two parties come the general election, or is that more a function of, let's say, the Democrats trying to get some high-profile names in, and that's where they will be banking on in terms of publicity?
Yes, I think it's more about whether the early primary will have the effect that you mentioned earlier about who comes to vote and what type of candidate is nominated. If the Republicans nominate a more moderate person in their primary versus a more perceived radical person, then that's going to help them in the general. Whether the early primary helped do that or not is, you know, why we have political scientists. That's what we study after the elections.
And you're talking in this instance mostly about the Senate race, I take it?
Yes.
Is this ultimately going to be a big change in how people vote? If I'm a voter, does this really change my life all that much?
Not initially, but maybe over time. If this date holds for several cycles, then I think it probably would. Certainly, candidates will have to reform and re-strategize how they raise money, for instance, as you mentioned, how they get votes. The general election becomes a marathon, so you have to pace yourself accordingly. And so I think if it holds, this time they're going to be going by the seat of their pants and hoping that they made the right guesses. In 2016 and 18, it won't be so much guessing. It'll have more data behind it.
Does this mean that voters will have to endure more of the flyers, the robocalls, the negative ads, all of that kind of thing?
Well, we talk about this a lot, and I talk about it in my classes. Voter outreach is changing rapidly. I mean, even rapidly is not even a good word. The Obama and to some extent the Romney campaign last year totally changed the paradigm for campaigning. We are now in an age that we're referring to as digital politics. And I think you're going to see robocalls being reduced. I think you're going to see flyers being reduced, but you're going to see more personal contact through the electronic computer-generated avenues, all based on the doors that they broke down in this last election using mega data and being able to target not just groups of specific voters, but the actual voter themselves. So the voter is going to be inundated even more, but not in the same ways.
Steve Anthony is now a lecturer in political science at Georgia State University. He's a former executive director of the State Democratic Party and a former top aide to the late House Speaker, Tom Murphy. Steve Anthony, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dennis. Always a pleasure for me. Thank you.